On SUNY Distinguished Academy Week, nanoparticles in your favorite items could be doing you harm. I'm Dr. Lynn Pascarella, President of the Association of American Colleges and Universities. And today on the Academic Minute, Miriam Rafalovich, Distinguished Professor in the Department of Materials Science and Chemical Engineering at Stony Brook University, has more.
Ever since Richard Feynman's famous 1959 lecture, "There's Plenty of Room at the Bottom," nanotechnology has had a profound influence on science. Initially, it generated favorable public interest. Then came the Michael Crichton novel, Prey, and the review in the New York Times that claimed nanotechnology has been more science fiction than science, and Prey was hailed as the expression of the public sphere of scientists working in secret. Lesson learned, science had marched ahead without public discourse and maybe responsibility. So nanotoxicology, the companion of nanotechnology, was born. Examples abounded. Gold metal, considered safe for centuries, was found to adversely impact human cells when made as nanoparticles. "Gold makes you look old," wrote the Hindustani Times, succinctly summarizing extensive research when the particles penetrated skin cells, simulating the effects of aging. Titanium dioxide nanoparticles were considered safe enough to be used in foods, M&Ms, Oreos, Tic Tacs, yet research showed that they were more dangerous than those of gold. Once inside the human cell, they damaged chromosomes, sensitized the cells to photo damage, bacterial infection, and possibly cancer. As a result, cosmetic companies removed all nanoparticles from formulations, and they were officially classified as a workplace inhalation hazard. But nanotoxicology was also responsible for the growth of nanomedicine, where nanoparticles were engineered to find cells harboring disease and deliver targeted toxicological payloads. Hence, the combination of science and social responsibility was not only ethical, but productive and sustainable.
That was Miriam Rafalovich of Stony Brook University. You can find this, other segments, and more information about the professors at academicminute.org.
Production support for the Academic Minute comes from AAC and U, Advancing Liberal Learning and Research for the Public Good.